Bible says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. That's powerful. And Eri, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at both which the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he had said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to minister to you today from a subject, How Leaders Ignite Your Passion.
Amen.
How Leaders Ignite Your Passion. This will be the final message in our core value leadership series. We trust that the messages that we've been sharing with you guys have been instrumental in helping you to develop into what God has called you to be. And so I want to start this out. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There are three special giftings that God has given key leaders in the body of Christ. The three special giftings that I'm going to talk about that God has given key leaders in the body of Christ. And when I'm referring to key leaders, I'm talking about senior pastors and others that are commissioned by God to develop the gifting of God in others. Three special giftings. The first gift is to ignite. Leaders have been given a special ability from God to ignite or to reignite the things inside of you that God has called you to be or do. And because they have this gifting from God, it doesn't matter whether your gift may not be yet manifested, or it doesn't matter if the gift inside of you has died out. In other words, that gift has become dormant. God have called you to a particular thing. God have called you to do a particular thing. And now that gift, for whatever reason, trials of life, tribulations, persecutions, frustration, have gone dormant where you don't want to do it anymore. But God's given leaders that ability to ignite that thing or reignite that thing, and so that you have a desire to do the things of God in you again. And so if you're serving under a leader that is, number one, not capable of igniting your passion or unconcerned with the gifts of God being developed within you, then you're probably in the wrong place.
Amen.
Number two is to develop. This gift is also given to those with the pastoral mantle on their lives that have been anointed by God. And these men and women of God have strategically built their ministries so that they have an environment that is conducive to your personal growth and development in the things of God. What I mean by that is that they have ministries in place that you can walk into, and the things that God have put into you, they're strategically in developing that and bringing that out.
Amen.
It's the second gifting that God's given leaders. The third gift is releasing.
Amen.
Once you've been ignited and developed and prepared, you must be released into your destiny where God has called you to serve in the body of Christ.
Yes.
Now, apostolic leaders, I believe God's called me to be an apostolic leader. May not look like it right now, but 5, 6, 7 years from now, this apostolic mantle that is upon my life, y'all will begin to see it.
Amen.
But apostolic leaders understand that, and they understand that the church is a revolving door and not a closed door. And what that means inevitably is that when people come into their midst, apostolic leaders understand that they do not stifle the giftings of God that's in the house, because eventually they will have to release them into their destinies.
Amen.
And so they don't try to hold all the gifts in one location. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
In other words, this releasing isn't for everybody, because everybody's not called to move nationally and globally. But when you serve under an apostolic leader, God will send him people like that who they will be at the house for a specific period of time. And then the leader has to release them into their destinies. And so the church is not a closed door, but it's a revolving door.
Amen.
And so you'll see leaders that operate under this mantle. They normally have massive or mega churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they have plenty of gifts. Mega churches are normally filled with gifts. I mean, they got 10 musicians. They got 30 preachers. They've got plenty of children's church workers. Why? Because there's an apostolic mantle on that leader.
Amen.
And the desire of God is always to give you more than enough. And he understands that these people that are sitting under him, some of them will have to eventually be released into what God's called them to do.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So I want you to understand that although Eli had issues and refused to deal appropriately with the wickedness of his sons, he understood this process and did not stifle the gifting of God that was in Samuel.
Amen.
Nor shut him out because things were not going as they should in Israel or the temple that he was overseeing. See, at this particular time, what was taking place, the temple that Eli was overseeing was going downhill. And it was going downhill exclusively because Eli refused to deal with the wickedness of his sons. And so in the refusing of dealing with the wickedness of his sons, he still did not stifle the gifting of God that was in Samuel. So if those of you that are leaders and you're listening to this by way of radio, or may even, well, you won't see it on television because we're not taping it. But if I'm preaching this again, just because your church is not going the way it should does not mean you have the right to stifle the gift of God in others.
Amen. Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Yes.
I believe this is going to be a good word and it's going to bless you this morning.
Amen.
Number one, how leaders ignite your passion is by having a place where you can be consistently able to minister unto the Lord.
Amen.
Verse number one, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And so the temple was a place where ministering unto the Lord was common and welcome. And from his birth, Samuel was dedicated for use in the kingdom. And by the age of 12, he was fully engaged in the work of the ministry before the priests of the temple. Those of you that have studied the life of Samuel understand that his mother, Hannah, wanted to have a child. And she was unable to bear a child. And she asked God for a child. And the priest Eli recognized this, and he spoke into her life, and she ended up getting pregnant. She ended up having a child. And when she had the child, she dedicated the child Samuel back to kingdom use. In other words, she gave him back to the Lord. Am I doing all right? And so in the giving back, it meant that she fully released him to use of the kingdom. And so Samuel was a young lad, and he was serving in the kingdom under the priest of Eli in the temple, doing the normal duties of the priest instead of being at home playing like other little boys and girls were. Now, leaders understand that your passion for the things of God is often birthed from your desire to be active in the things of God. If you're taking notes, write this down. You cannot receive a passion for the things of God if you're not actively involved in the things of God. So the more you become active in the things of God, the more you receive passion for the things of God. And the more you get involved with ministries inside the church, it's like I talked about leaders that develop their churches, that have ministries you can get involved in, the more that you get involved in that, you'll discover your passion. Some of you will stumble upon it. Some of you never knew you were called to children's ministry till you started working in the children's ministry. Some of you never knew that you've been called to singing until you got involved in the singing ministry. And so you don't do that if you're not going to be able to figure that if you're not actively involved in the things of God. Now, leaders understand this and ensure that they provide an atmosphere or an environment that makes this possible. They build their churches and ministries around and with the giftings of others, because it brings them great satisfaction to see others ignited and developed into what God has called them to be. And so what brings me, church, great satisfaction is not a paycheck at the end of the week.
Amen.
It's not a 430 Benz. It's not a custom-built home. What brings my wife and I great satisfaction is to see you operating in your purpose.
Amen.
And moving in your passion.
Amen.
Am I doing all right? And so we're living in a day and age where we need more leaders that exercise the ability to speak into the lives of God's people and help them to define what their passion is while pushing them into what God has called them to do.
Amen.
And so if you stay around the house of God, if you stay around the priest, eventually you're going to find out what your passion is, because he's anointed to bring you into it.
Yes,
number two. The second reason why it's important that leaders ignite the passion in others is because sometimes leaders can't see.
Amen.
Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And Eri, the lamp of God, went out in the temple of the Lord. So sometimes, church, leaders can't see. Listen to me closely. It's not uncommon that leaders may get into a place where they can't see or refuse to acknowledge the things that's holding them back from progressing in the things of God. Doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. Leaders can become too consumed with the day-to-day requirements and responsibilities of overseeing a ministry, tests, trials, hurts, frustrations, and sometimes they come to a place where they can't see. Now, I'm not talking, church, about physical blindness. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. And so they know that they are not progressing. They know that the presence of God or the anointing of God has lifted off of what they're doing, but they don't admit it. And they may not acknowledge it. And some leaders, they just keep on going until the bottom falls out. And that had happened with Eli. Because inevitably, the anointing of God had been pulled off of Eli's life because he refused to deal with the wickedness of his sons. But Eli refused to acknowledge that, and he got to a place where he couldn't see. Am I doing all right? Now, leaders have to make sure that they ignite and develop the passion in people around them so that others are able to see their blind spots when they can no longer see. See, it's important, church, that those of you Now, let me say this before I say this, make that statement. Those of you, everybody is not anointed or qualified to share the blind spots of the leader.
That's right.
Y'all understand me?
Amen.
There are certain people that the leader should have close to him that are anointed to share blind spots. And so it's the leader's responsibility that he ensures, stop that walking, son. Get in here and sit down. We'll have to cut that out the tape. We have to make sure that leaders develop the people around them so that they're able to ignite the passion in others so that they can see. Because when I have people around me, you can tell me where my blind spots are that may be hindering me from moving in the things of God. Everyone's not anointed to do that, but I got to make sure that I develop people like that, and so that when times get tough and times get hard, I have people in my corner that can say, Pastor, have you considered A, B, C, and D?
Amen.
Or do you, you know, maybe if you're not, you stop doing this or that or the other, and you have to be very cautious how you approach your man or woman of God, because it can become a level of disrespect or it can become a level of arrogance.
Right.
But they, listen to me, leaders should have an environment where that's open and that's welcome.
That's right. Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Amen.
And so I believe that leaders should have people in their lives. We talked about that. And the Bible talks about Eli's eyes began to wax dim so that he could not see the lamp of God, and it went out. And so what that represented symbolically, that the health and welfare of the temple were going down and Eli didn't know it. But thank God, church, that Samuel was close to Eli and Samuel was in a place where he could hear God on behalf of his leader.
Amen.
Number three, the third way that leaders ignite your passion is by their ability to perceive that you've been called.
Amen.
This is powerful. Look at this. In verse number 4 through verse number 7, we find that Samuel was having a dialogue with God and he didn't even know it. The Bible says in verse number 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli. God, this is so powerful, Tommy. Here it is, this man of God goes to his leader to get direction to hear from God. And this man of God was in a position as to whether or not he would let him know what the next step was. And, oh, Jesus. Eli's or Samuel's whole ministry was predicated upon whether or not his leader perceived the call of God that was upon his life. There are leaders in the body of Christ that know their followers have been called by God into a greater level of service, but they ignore it. They shun it or take people through red tape and hoops when it comes to letting them know what the next step is. Leaders that ignite your passion understand that when a person is being called into service by God, it's a critical time.
Amen.
And so they make sure that that person is, number one, hearing from God, because they understand, inevitably, the leader understands that's anointed to lead, to ignite your passion. He understands that inevitably your whole success in ministry is based upon your ability to hear. And so if he doesn't make sure you're hearing from God and you're hearing that God is in fact calling you, then that will determine the rest of your ministry. Because how successful you are depends solely upon how well you can hear from God.
Amen.
And so they have to ensure that they're in fact hearing from God, because it will affect the rest of their ministry. And so people in the body of Christ have been called by God into service can be seriously effective by how his or her leaders perceive their call. Even though Eli had perceived that God had called Samuel, he still had a choice as to whether or not he would sanction that God had in fact called Samuel into service. Had Eli ignored the call of God that was upon Samuel's life and not sanctioned it, then Samuel may not have been able to fulfill what God was calling him to do. Because inevitably, you can be personally affected by how your call is perceived and whether or not your call is sanctioned. Am I doing all right? Now watch this. Eli did not know at the time Samuel was called that God had called this man of God to be the last judge in Israel and the first prophet. He didn't look like that. But it was based upon Eli's perception and his sanctioning of the call of God that was upon Samuel's life.
Amen.
And so with Eli perceiving and sanctioning the call of God that was upon Samuel, he had to let him know what the next thing or the next step was for him to take. And so one of the most important things a leader can do, write this down in your notes, is teach you the importance of knowing how to hear from God. It's the most important thing a leader can do. Once your passion has been ignited, if I don't teach you how to hear from God clearly, then inevitably I'm failing. Because the success of your ministry is dependent upon your ability to hear. Now look at this. So therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Here in this text, we see that Eli taught Samuel a valuable lesson in hearing from God that would inevitably affect the success of his entire ministry. Number four, y'all getting anything out of this?
Amen.
The fourth way that leaders ignite your passion is by allowing you to grow. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, and Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel, what? Grew. And the Lord was with him. I believe that Samuel grew under the tutelage of Eli. Those years that he spent in that temple under Eli's ministry help him to develop into what we see in verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Because Eli allowed him to grow. Now I'm going to share some points with you and I'm going to be done. Leaders must allow their followers to grow. Although throughout this process, I'm talking about the leader-follower relationship, there will be mistakes. Hello.
Amen.
Because as you grow in the things of God, you will make mistakes. And if I don't allow you to make mistakes, then I'm not allowing you to grow.
That's right.
Sometimes when you guys make mistakes, I don't say anything to you about you because you know you made the mistake. And me not saying anything helps you to grow because you obviously say, man, if I ever confront this again, I know what not to do. So leaders got to allow their followers to grow. And in this process, there'll be mistakes. There'll be challenges. There'll be disappointments. But there'll also be victories and there'll be successes.
Amen.
It's all a part of the process, igniting, developing, and growing into what God has called you to be. Am I doing all right? I want to close in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. And I want you to understand something about the growth process. Because as this church grows and as we take on the image that God has called us to be, we're going to have all different types of people floating in and out of here. And my wife and I already understand some people are not going to want to follow the process. We'll have people that'll come in here, y'all mark my words. You'll see them, they'll get activated in ministry, they'll start developing in the things of God, and then they think they're ready for something that they're not.
Amen.
Because my wife and I have spiritual discernment, and we'll say, you know, yes, this is your call, but it's not your season.
That's right.
Hello.
That's right.
And some people will move too prematurely before their season. And they'll make a wreck of their lives because they're not ready to move into what they called to do yet.
Amen.
But for those of you that will stay and stick the process out, I want to share this word. Verse number 1. Wherefore, Hebrews 12 and 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race that is set. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to close this series out by reminding you that even though your passion is being ignited, you're not in a 100-yard dash.
Amen.
You follow me? Because moving in the things of God takes a lifetime. You're in a marathon, not a sprint foot race. Coming into Christianity, that's a process. Dedicating yourselves to the things of God, that's a process. Being properly developed, it's like running a marathon. You have to pace yourself. You have to pace yourself and allow God to properly develop you, because you want to be meat that's fit for the master's use.
Amen.
How many of y'all have ever baked a cake before?
Amen.
How many of y'all have ever cooked a piece of meat before?
Amen.
How many of y'all baked a cake that wasn't done?
Amen.
Looked real good on the outside, didn't it? It was sweet, moist. When you cut into that joker, wasn't fit for consumption. How many of you have cooked a piece of meat? I know some of y'all like your meat to be raw. Some of you like, you know, raw meat per se. But, you know, I'm talking about undercooked meat. Look brown on the outside. How many of you sisters have baked? I was just getting ready to say that. Fried chicken. And we're nice and crisp on the outside. But when you bit into that, it's still pink. Look good, fit for consumption. You can put hot sauce on it. But my point is, it won't ready. And same thing in the kingdom of God, church. You've got to make sure that you go through this process and you walk out what God has called you to be, so that you can be what the Bible calls meat for the master's use.
Amen.
Don't take my wife and I's kindness and compassion and desire to develop you in the things of God for granted and think that, you know, we're just ignorant, because we're not. We may be young, but we've been anointed. We've been anointed by God to do what we're doing, and we still have spiritual discernment. So if you get in this thing and you want to rush and you want to run and you want to jump ahead of time, and you'll mess your life up. It'll be nobody's fault but yours. All you need to understand, church, in my close, is that God's got a call upon your life, and that you're willing to be submitted to whatever it takes to get you where you need to be. Inevitably, it's a journey that will last a lifetime. How leaders ignite your passion. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.